Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we are going to be learning together Bo Sheni, the second Aliyah in Parshas Bo. Our Aliyah is 12 Pesukim long, running from Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis to Chof Gimel. And the topic of our Aliyah is locusts and darkness. We're looking at the 8th and 9th of the plagues of the Makos. So let's take a look at the Aliyah overview, and then we'll delve into some deeper points to ponder. So we now hear that after the warning has been given, Hashem tells Moshe to stretch out his hand over the land of Egypt with the locusts, and that's what happens. They're going to come and they're going to destroy everything that remains from the hail, and Moshe Rabbeinu stretches out his staff towards the sky and over the land of Egypt, and there is this very strong easterly wind which comes and blows all day, all night. And in the wake of that wind come this incredible plague. There, in fact, the pasuk describes that there were so many locusts. Lefonav lo hayachen v'arbe kamoyu v'acharav lo yiachen. Never before nor afterwards was ever such a plague seen. It covers the entire land. They consume every part of vegetation that is left over from the barad. And at this point in time, Paro runs to call Moshe and he says, "I sinned. Just take away this this terrible thing, remove this death from my environment." And they left Paro and they went to pray. But Hashem brought about another wind which blew everything back towards the sea, and there was not a single locust left. But at the end again, Hashem strengthened the heart of Pharaoh, and he would not relent to send the nation of Israel off. Moshe now conducts the 9th plague, and that is he is told by Hashem, he stretches his hand towards the heavens, and the darkness descends on Egypt. Vayomesh choshech, a hard word to translate. It sounds like this enveloping darkness, and that's what happens. It's 3 days of choshech afela, of this darkness, and then we hear about 3 days where lo kamul ish mitachtov, nobody is able to stand up, and Bnei Israel had light, the nation of Israel had light in their areas. So a few points to ponder. Number one is that the statement made in this Aliyah is that there never was another locust plague like this. Now the question is that we it's hard to compare stats and figures because we don't know how many there were, but there is another moment in Tanakh, in a recorded Tanakh history, which does seem to contradict that a little bit, because if you look at Sefer Yoel is a prophet. And according to Chazal, he is during the reign of Yehoram, who is the son of Ahab in the northern kingdom of Israel. The prophet, another prophet who lives at the same time as Elisha. Yoel talks of a terrible day. He calls it in the second parak of Yoel, in the Treyasar. He says, Yom Choshech Va'afela, Yom Anan Va'rafel. There's going to be a day of darkness and deep darkness and cloudiness. Keshachar Paras Alarim. Amratzum Kamo, Loniyam in Olam Va'acharav Lo'nasaf. It talks about there's going to be this plague, which is going to be as dense as clouds and enormous hordes that never before have been the likes of it been seen. So this refers to a terrible locust plague, which will ensue, which will bring about a terrible famine in the land of Israel, which is recorded in the beginning of Sefer Melachim Beis. Just another plug for learning Nach and appreciating the entire context of what's being taught in the Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. But Rashi explains that future plague of locusts, in fact, is not going to be the same as this, because that'll have many different types of locusts. This type of locust that afflicted Egypt was only one particular type, and that will never occur. You'll never have a plague with just one type, which is so severe. That's how Rashi tries to answer this. Rabbeinu Chananel says, no, what's being said over here is that there will never be another plague of locusts in the land of Egypt, meaning when the locusts are being taken away now. The promise that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is you may think of this as a natural phenomenon. You may think you see the wind, they come, they go. Well, this has never been the case, and never in Egypt will you see something of the level of severity. So it's emphasizing, Rabbeinu Chananel says, Rabban says a similar thing, is that you are to understand that it may look natural, but oh boy, it is not natural at all. And that's what's being the focus over here. Another question is, why did Hashem blow them out and not just kill them? Hashem killed all the frogs right there and they were in piles rotting away. And the answer is, as Chazal points out, is that locusts are a delicacy. Many people eat them. In fact, according to Torah law, there are a number of different types of grasshoppers, which are kosher. Today, many streams of Judaism do not have the tradition as to what they are, but it is a delicacy. It's something which can be eaten. So Hashem ensured there would be no collateral benefit from this plague. An interesting question to ask ourselves is, how exactly did this choshech ensue? How did it actually happen? So the Mari Kra, who's one of the Mefarshei HaPshat, Rav Yosef Kara, not to be confused with Rav Yosef Karo later on, who was going to be the author of the Shulchan Aruch, but he explains that when the wind blew out the Arbeh, when it blew out the locusts, it brought in this thick, thick fog. Fog so thick that it penetrated the cities, and it ensured that even when a flame was lit in its darkness, it couldn't really penetrate the thickness of the fog. And sometimes you see this, you know, in certain areas, cars are manufactured with fog lights, special types of lights to try to penetrate this fog, because when the fog is thick, you cannot see anything. That's what he understands. The Malbim quotes the Mari Kra, he says, we don't need to have to explain every plague in scientific language. We don't need to have a way that we can physically explain it, because this is, in fact, supernatural. We don't have to have a natural explanation of it. This is a struggle in today's day and age, which lives in the realm of the rational, and therefore has to explain everything off with a scientific phenomenon. And there are Rishonim who do this. The Mari Kra, the Ralbag, as an example, do this. And the Malbim says, it is also all right to understand and believe that Hashem superseded nature, because he did create it in the first place as well. Another question is how do we understand this whole description of 3 days and 3 days? What's really going on over here? So Rashi explains that what's going on is that there were 3 days first of a lack of sight, so it was very, very dark. But then the last 3 days were actually not just a lack of sight, but it was incarceration. It was actually an inability to be able to move. And therefore, that is what how this plague went down. In fact, this may explain a very curious word that Hashem describes in the premonition of the darkness, which is Vayomesh Choshech. Very hard word to translate. What does that mean, Vayomesh Choshech mean? So Rav Hirsch says it comes from the word mash, to touch. So some explain it as an example, with the Targum Yerushalmi says, is that people were groping around. People were trying to grope around in the darkness. Rav Hirsch explains is that what it means is that a person's sight was rendered useless, and therefore they could only use their sense of touch to navigate as well. But it could also mean that, in a certain sense, the darkness itself was tangible. It wasn't simply the lack of light, but it was actually a physical entity, which would help explain, as Rashi talks about, at the end of the plague, those 3 days of the physical incarceration as well. It is worthwhile noting that there is something else to be, you know, darker side to darkness, if one may say so, and that is that what happened during the plague of darkness was that those Israelites who did not believe in redemption were in fact killed off. And if you want to take a look at the numbers game, looking at the Pasha's beginning of Pasha's B'Shalach, where it talks about Chamushim Alu B'nei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, that only a fifth came out, then you said that 80% were not worthy and perhaps died in the plague of darkness, which is a pretty shocking description. It is worthwhile noting that the word Vayomesh, if you shift down each of those letters, the Vav, the Yud, the Mem, the Shin, so you shift them down one letter in the alphabet, it does spell the word Hitler, Hay Tes Resh Lamed Resh, which is an interesting thing to think about in terms of that the darkness itself was a plague for the Egyptians, but it also was a dark time for Israel in our tradition as well, for those who weren't able to make it out. And there's something to think about in terms of the epic proportions and numbers of Holocaust-like numbers as well. Finally, Rav Sorotskin quotes the Midrash Shmos Rabbah, and he points out that the general pattern of the plagues was 7 days per plague. So why over here is it 3 days and 3 days, which is only 6 days of the actual plague? And he explains, based on the Midrash, that the last day of the Makor of Choshech actually reappeared at Kriyas Yamsuf, later on, 7 days after the end of Exodus of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's when it reappeared, and that reappearance was what prevented the Egyptians from attacking the Lokaro Zel Ze Kol HaLaila. They were not able to access the nation of Israel because of this physical barrier of darkness, which was, so to speak, being pushed over in order to facilitate that. With this, we conclude the second Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful